بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد كرمنا بني إسرائيل وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا. We have honored the children of Adam alayhi salam, transported him on land and sea, and provided him with good and healthy nourishment, and favored him over many of our creation. The gifts of Allah Ta'ala, some of them are natural. They come with the package. As we come into the world, then we come with it. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Allah Ta'ala has created man in the best of forms. Other creations may be beautiful, a cat may look nice, but overall the balance, the proportion, the shape, the beauty that's in a man, can you find it elsewhere? Just the beauty of man is such, just 1 minute into Jannah, right? Allah will take us there. Just 1 second, not 1 minute, 1 second into Jannah. You are in, and one step is in your Jannah. So one is going to Jannah, and it's your Jannah. One step. And one side at your home. One is the side at your wife. That would be something too magnificent. You know, the bride, right? And she has some, what do you call it? Someone is helping out. Flower girls. So sometimes I say, something I can't understand. When my mother was alive, the family girls, when they get married, so they come and visit her, because she couldn't attend the nikah. So now, the first 1 week or the second week or the third week of the marriage, the husband will go and open the door for her. He will hold her hand and escort her into the house. After the second, third week, everything is finished. But I think to myself, well, they were so weak, but they needed that support. And after 2 weeks, they struggle. Why did they need the support? So, this is all tamasha, it's just a show, nothing else, right? So, here you got that flower girl, right? They, that fools, will be like that flower girl. Right? And your wife will be millions of times, literally more beautiful than the fool. Literally millions of times more prettier than the fool. And it is because she deserves it. The fool didn't do anything to get into Jannah. And your family, how much of your nonsense she had to endure? How many times she had to just keep her cool, just to keep you relaxed? You want samosa after Isha, but she'll break her sleep and she'll get it done for you. Doesn't it happen? But all time you got a mihman, she will break her back to see that your guests are entertained. Won't she do it? So much she does for you. So won't her position be so much elevated? So that first look that you will look just at your hoor, imagine if your wife were to be, just at the hoor, then it will take you approximately 200 years just to overcome the excitement. Looking and looking and looking. There's one look, 100, 200 years, that thing is just growing. You can't overcome that. you know, my one friend, I won't mention his name, probably about 55 years ago. He's an old person. So he got married, so they booked him in one family cottage. The family just had a cottage, so they booked him in. So he was supposed to be there in that cottage on the beach side, one of its kind, and all the fish. I went and seen the place myself. So in the second day, he was back home. The home was simple, very simple, crowded home. So in just one day, he came back. Said, "My Huthi, you went there for the honeymoon. The cottage was one of its kind, finishes, everything was there. But one day was too much." So he replied in his own simple way. He says, "I looked at her, she looked at me now. How much more now? Here in the house, the sort of action, interaction, meeting with this one, talking with that one, eating this, joking with that one, there's so much of action. Yeah, now I saw her for the one day. Now how much more? What can I ask?" See, for that novelty to wear out in this world is just a day. And there that novelty will carry on. So imagine what will be the extent of that novelty. Allah will give us, book us the place in Jannah. In such a way that there's no cancellation. He books it out for us without any cancellation. وَلَغَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored mankind. So I say there's two types of privileges that Allah has given you. One is natural, it comes with the package. So the proportion, the beauty, the looks, right, that man has got. No other creation has got. So then you can imagine now that hur, what will be her looks like. And I say you compare it with a cat, or it may look nice, cute and all that, right? But nowhere to a human being. Then again, you look at the human being again, right? Allah Pak has given him the ability to express himself like no other creation. Can any creation express itself precisely as man can? You can express, you can expound, you can explain. So much he can do, right? With the same tongues. One thing, he can do so much. He can sing. With just one tongue, he can expound theories, concepts, understand, explain. Just with that one tongue. Like no other creation can do it. So that's again natural, it comes with the package. Then he's given him a brain and an intellect, right? That's beyond, it's mind-boggling, the type of brain and intellect Allah has given him. That he doesn't only look for himself, he can look for the entire universe. Intricate problems, he can find solutions. He can, according to the age and the zamana that he is living in, he can sustain himself, he can get into inventions, into technology, into science, and do the inventions according to the age. Who has given you the talent? Any other creation has got it, that according to the age and time that you are living in, and then Allah Ta'ala gives you the talent. Alright, this is the age that you are in, and this is the talent that is required. Who has given the talent? So some of this beauty is natural, it comes with you, it comes with you. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. I was talking of the hoors of Jannah, right? So one is the look, then the voice. Then she will sing, right? When she will sing, just for you to overcome the excitement of the song, it'll take a couple of 100 years. Yeah, you'll sing, someone will sing, and you'll jump and you'll dance on the right, at the end of it, class. Mostly something you'll throw. Right? She must do this, and you'll throw 100 rand or 50 rand. You know, I need something for myself also. You can't throw so much, right? But when she starts singing, you can't resist. Your temptation, your emotions, your excitement, and that thing will carry on. It won't end up 3 years, 10 years, 100 years, 200 years. It's not just ending. Such excitement, such beauty. But all that requires a little bit of restraint. Ramadan, what a beautiful lesson it has for us. We restrained anything that will break that roza, right? Then one day Allah gave us to rejoice. That after that month of restraining, Allah appreciates. Who is greater? Who appreciates more than Allah? Can there be anybody that appreciates more than Allah? So after that month of restraint, he's given you one day to rejoice, to get happy, that he's forgiven you. But then the Islamic type of rejoicing, the Dini type of rejoicing, is totally different to a kuffar rejoicing. There's a level, all type of shows and excitement and thrilling, all that. Here it's different. Here, as we're coming out from the home, proceeding to the Eidgah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Does it happen? Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Praise to Allah Ta'ala. We're reminding ourselves of Allah Ta'ala, right? Then we offer that namaz, again as a gratitude. Then again, right, I don't say it's a sunnah for the Eid day, but then we don't forget our deceased. You can visit them, do something for them as well. Now compare this to any other denomination. Have they got it so complete? Then brothers are meeting, exchanging gifts, happiness, right? You see it anywhere, in any religion. Really, you know, the gift of Islam, really it required we pay a price for it to get into Islam. And Allah Pak has given it for free. When you just make the comparison, you see the gifts that you've gotten. Sometimes I tell the brothers, alright, it's not a thing to be doing, right? But just for a moment of reflection, look at a summer's night, yeah, right? The Isha Namaz is about 5 to 9 somewhere, right? 10 to 9, 5 to 9. By the time you finish the Namaz, at the Talim in the Masjid, or some small program, it's already past, half past 9, quarter past 9. Show me anywhere in the world, you can get a free hospitality and a free entertainment outside the Masjid. Anywhere but Islam. They're not supposed to be wasting the time there, right? But a little bit of entertainment, you're talking there, how are you, this, that, Kim Shoh, Harasho, right? Anywhere, any religion, any place, free entertainment. You want some entertainment there, friends, talking to them. What can I do for you? How can you help me out? What should I do for you? See? Don't you have it? One common place, you're collecting, talking, muhabbat, with understanding, doing something for him, he's doing something for you, right? But can you find that type of socializing free of charge anywhere? Then not only socializing, Allah appreciates your coming to his house so much, he likes it, so much he appreciates it, that he's given you a free facility to go and relieve yourself. Free, clean, crisp, clean toilets, right? Don't you say, nearly every masjid is there. The wuzu khana, you fresh up, freshen up. Khudana khasta, if someone needs to have a ghusl, you can do that as well. Warm water provided, towels provided, soap provided. What else you want in the world? What else? That you just took a small little step towards him and he just opened the floodgates of his bounties. A few steps you took in and he just opened out. Imagine if we were a little bit more serious than how Allah Ta'ala would have blessed us. So when you look at Islam, then just from the apparent, I think I'm convinced, you know, really you needed to pay a price to be there. You needed to pay a price to be in that. I was explaining more Junaid just now, you know, that to be in the service of Allah Ta'ala, you can imagine if you're doing service for deen, what a big price you need to pay for you to be eligible to be serving deen. Not the other way, if I'm doing something for you, you know, it's very great I'm doing for you, you better see me right. Not that way, the other way, right? He's favored you, that he allowed you to be of service to his deen. He can use anybody. You're supposed to be paying a price to be eligible for them. Then you can imagine now what a price you're supposed to be paying to be eligible to be doing his service. And in that whole thing, then we are crying within ourselves, Allah, I didn't do it how I was supposed to be doing it. I fell short, Allah, do forgive me. You see how comprehensive, how perfect. There's no deficiency in this. In the system, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, absolutely no deficiency. The deficiency is within our minds, not in the deen. Deen is perfect, complete from every perspective that you look. Any perspective is absolutely perfect. And our main defect is that we don't show the gratitude, ingratitude. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Most men, you don't see him to be showing gratitude. You'll be complaining about this, that is not right, this is not right, that is not right. But the level of gratitude that was supposed to be shown to Allah Ta'ala, do we show that gratitude? So, One is the honor that Allah has given you naturally. You come in beauty, right? Like you never see something. And the child is born, there's so much of honor, everybody is coming, giving gifts. Such a beautiful sight it is, isn't it? Comes, 2 days, next day, the little children want to see now, how's the child? Forget the rest, they want to see the napkin also. And they want to see that being washed off, all the dirt, they enjoy all that. It's a strange, you know, everything of the child that's ushered in the world is taken with so much of love and respect. Everything that would seem out otherwise would seem like filth, right? But they look at it with so much of respect and so much of love. You know, I did shave the house people, right? But some of the house people don't eat ojri, right? So that ojri they're finding is so dirty, but the napkin they don't find it dirty. They do it with so much of pleasure. So who's created this love and muhabbat? Understand? That love, that muhabbat, that affinity, that bond. You want to see the child. See, so you see, in every step of the life of a Muslim, really it's beauty, it's honor, it's happiness. It is just a moment of reflection. Person is coming into a nikah. How much of happiness all around that is being generated? Just for you practicing a sunnah, living a life of chastity, and so much of honor. Imagine the same person was moving around without nikah. Will he get that honor? Just one step into nikah, into a halal, right? Halal practice. Doing it halal, no pre-marital, nothing, absolutely, but he's doing it halal. So much of love, respect, compliments, gifts, everything coming, just to practice a sunnah. See, the style, the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is just honor, respect, it's beauty. That bride may have been seen 100 times over and over again, right? Before marriage, she was seen 100 times over. But at the day of the nikah, everybody will see the bride. Doesn't it happen? The sister, there was a company, she wants to see after the nikah. You see the love Allah has brought, the respect, the beauty. Just into nikah, you will see her. Meet her, see her, talk to her. Just imagine, this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just that you took a few steps, came into the sunnah. You didn't do anything that was immoral, right? Indecent. You didn't do anything. You came in the right style, but the respect that Allah gives you, straight away you get it. Doesn't happen. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. It's a little time we take out to reflect the favors and the bounties of Allah ta'ala. You know, the last thing we would like for anybody to be a sad sack. Keep on groaning and grumbling, groaning, and this is not right. I barabar nima te barabar. But that's not a Muslim's life. Look at from the other perspective, how much of happiness. Even a death for a Muslim is a happiness. For the people that have left him, they may be grieved, but you ask that person, that do you want a return ticket? This is how someone is telling me on a dream, you know. So, that deceased is telling me, for us every day is an Eid day. That deceased is telling what? And that happens for every Muslim, not one single Muslim, every Muslim. Every day, every moment it's Eid. Right? I mean, he's enjoying himself so much, but he wants to take a return. So our problem is we're not relating to the hereafter. We relate only to this world, only the present happiness. But do we relate to that happiness that is eternal? Do we relate to that happiness that is perpetual? That happiness that is just escalating all the time? Do we relate to the happiness? وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ. So one is the beauty that is natural, the honor that you get as you usher into the world, and the honor that comes with it. Right? And one is the beauty or the excellence that you had worked for. It's an additional thing. One is what you have come in with, and one is what you worked for. And the real thing to be working for is for the proximity to Allah Ta'ala. Right? That's the real thing. So for the proximity of Allah Ta'ala, what you have worked for, now that you will call it fazilat. Call this a karamat and call it a fazilat. So call it a bounty and call it an excellence. So what you worked for spiritually, that's an excellence. Spiritually what you worked for is an excellence, right? You worked so that you could discipline yourself, You won't look at the wrong. You won't speak about the wrong. You won't listen to the wrong, right? You will keep yourself in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala at any given moment, any given time. So that's the excellence that is spiritual. So this excellence, the honor that is coming in with you, and the excellence that you had worked for. So what a compliment, what a package, right? وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. So that person can work, and he can work to heights he can work. There's no limit to the height. Yeah? That is why, right till the last namaz that you read, then you will say, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us. So that means that sirat doesn't have an end. You can gain in proximity, you can go on gaining, and you will not end up. A small reflection of this, you can make a Quran khatam in a day, right? But you will still do the second one. You read it over and over 30 times in the month, 50 times, and maybe 100 times in the year or something, right? But you feel satisfied. Hey, read again. See it again. Read again. So that's a reflection of the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. That you don't get tired. You read and you want to read. You read and you want to read. You listen and you want to listen. Listen and you want to listen again. Carries on. A slight reflection of the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. Now when we came to live in Slingo Beach, now in the 60s, you know, so you go for a gush and all that. So you go, some people came near the beach to put up cottages and all that there, so you go. You tell them, compliments, mashallah, you got a nice house, what an excellent view and all that. We start off a little bit of a conversation in the gush. Can't be totally dry now. Well, forget that thing, man. Forget that. The first week we came here, we are enjoying the scene. After that, we don't know when we look at the beach. See that? Ma indakum yanfadu. What the beauty that you have got, what you have got, is perishable, it finishes. The beauty, the novelty just wears out. No matter what it is, but the novelty just wears out, class. It's a new motor car, you just pulled out of the box, right? First week, you say, hey, let me have a feel of the car, let me drive the thing. After 2 months then, yeah, it's finished, class. So the novelty wears out. It doesn't remain. But Allah Pak says, the novelty that's with me, the excitement that's with me, ma'indallahi baq, that is continuous, it doesn't end. So what are you running after these things, right? Nobody of it will be there for a day, 2 days. You're a CEO of a company with 200 million for the year, alright. After that, they'll publicize you, they'll talk to you, talk about you in the papers and all this, alright. After 1 year, it's gone, end of the story, khalas. In this time and age, the highest that you can escalate to is to the level of a prime minister, right? So the honor is until you are serving that office. And the term is over, you out, then you see the prime minister, he got an appointment with you. I will see one day. If his car is driving here, you run out to see him. So the respect is only until that he is serving in that office. And after his term is over, then he's over, his class, worn out, class, end of the story. But you see, Allah Pak is saying, "Ma indakum yanfadu." Whatever you have got, whatever you imagine to be a beauty, to be an excitement, to be a novelty, that thing must wear out. One point or the other, it must wear out. "Ma indallahi baq." The pleasure, the honor, the beauty that Allah Pak has got, that is continuous. It doesn't wear out. It just carries on. On, just carries on. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَا مَشْتُورَ. I showed you, one is the natural beauty that you come in with, and one is the beauty that you work for, that is the proximity to Allah Ta'ala, learning the Quran Sharif, Tajweed, he's learning taqwa, right, righteousness, and that's the greatest lesson that you can learn. There can't be a greater lesson than the lesson of righteousness. Because Allah Ta'ala Himself has endorsed it. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That's the greatest honor that you can get is the striving towards gaining taqwa. It's the greatest. So that's the greatest, you know, the height, ultimate. What? Taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You want a proximity, then get taqwa right, righteousness. The best provision for the hereafter, you read, you're traveling, it's a journey, you want some provision. So the best provision, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best provision that you can think about is the provision of the of taqwa, righteousness. And then what righteousness will amount to? Someone is asking me today. What is taqwa? How do you achieve it? So our life is so different now. Are we living one place and you else and another place? How do we get this thing? So you can see, in the light of what we learned from our elders and Abu Sufyan ad-Din, nothing is difficult, nothing is impossible. Irrespective of the distance and who you are, but nothing is difficult. So they gave a plan for about 2-3 things. They say that, you see, everything comes with determination. You determine, you can make it happen. Right? Isn't it? You determine, it'll happen. It's a wrong and you want to leave it out. A little bit of determination, you get it right. Isn't it? Someone showed me an article of a girl who lost her leg, right? One leg she lost. At birth, there were some complications that amputates one leg. But she's determined. She determined until she participated in the Olympics and came at first. So whatever type of artificial leg she had, but that determination took her from one level to the next level, to the third level, to the fourth level, until she participated in the Olympics and she came out first. So you can't say that, hey, how can I make it happen? Will it ever happen? And you know, all the limitations I got and all that. Now you think about that, you can't move. But you say, with my limitations, what can I do? How much can I do? Now that's a different person. I don't say, now send the girls for Olympics now. I don't get the wrong end of the story. It's just to show, elucidate this point, that you got the determination what you can do. So the actual thing that is required is the determination. Once you got the determination pushes you. But what builds the determination? Right? You say, alright, determination. So what builds the determination? Hazrat Rahmatullah, you should emphasize on this thing here. Himmat balan, don't lose your courage and determination. Just keep escalating the determination. Don't do anything that will break your himmat, you know, your determination, your courage and motivation. Don't do anything that will bust it, that will break it down. Now, unfortunately, we're listening to these things that will break the determination. Here, sad story, here, sad story, there, sad story, all, everywhere, all around. Person is dying, and that person. And then the determination, the courage, the motivation, and the drive that we have, that is dying out. So you listen to it, but to the point that you can manage comfortably. Beyond that, just cut it off. You can see now, it's affecting your determination, your thinking, your reasoning is all going off. Then you cut it off completely. Now, we are deliberately doing these things. Where there's a family, you know, with love, kindness, generosity, there's so much of happiness that's bubbling within the house. But now one silly news will come, and then the whole home is covered in depression, despondency. Doesn't happen. Someone was saying about 2 days ago, 2-3 days ago. So the mother was positive, right? So it's a double story house, one room in the top. They isolated the mother, totally isolated. She brought up all the 5 children, all the difficulties, schooled them, educated them, put them where they are today. And once they got, once they heard that, they isolated her, not even seeing her, just leaving a tray of food at the entrance, gone. Now she must die in isolation. But you see this? So you don't listen to this type of news and media to the point where it will affect your determination, it will affect your motivation. You don't listen. Why do you have to listen to it? I know, Allah will make you in charge now. You must listen to everything that's happening. What's happening in America now, what's happening in Japan and China now. So why must you listen to it? You listen so much and so much. Muslims are catching it everywhere. Palestine, they're catching it here, they're catching it there. Well, you spoke about them catching it, but what did you do after that? Do you get up after that, perform 2 rakats of namaz, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness for them? Do you try to alleviate the problem for them? Do you try in any way? The most you could do now is just like a brave person went into that march. So, I did something for Islam. Now you can't even speak out against it nowadays, because if you speak out against it, now you're anti. But ask yourself between you and Allah Ta'ala, what have I done in joining that march? Have I alleviated the problem? Have I relieved them from the difficulty that they are in? In any way, have I did anything? So do something constructive. See, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. So both materially and spiritually, what honor Allah Pak has given. Materially, the intellect that Allah Pak has given you, that you can get into technology, the technology to such a point, to such a level, that you can communicate from one point, one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, other end of the world in a second, communication. Can you imagine the type of excellence Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with, that you can communicate from one end of the world to the next end of the world, 10,000 miles from one end to the other end, but you can communicate so easily. Inventions, explorations, right? So Allah Ta'ala given you that ability. Now, about 10 years ago, they wanted to put up a masjid in Iceland. A place is covered in ice. So they thought, how to do it? Because if you do it with iron, I think it's going to crack. Do it with cement, that's going to crack because of the cold, extreme cold. Minus 60, minus 70, that won't endure. So some Pakistanis, what they did, they built a masjid with wood, right, timber, because I think the timber can endure that conditions. And they shipped it across to Iceland. But you see that understanding Allah gave them, that built it elsewhere and just shipped it across. So who has been blessed with this level of intelligence that you make that life of yours sustainable irrespective of the circumstance? Communication, right? The weakness of man. When Allah saw now, alright, man is growing and he's growing weaker, his demands are greater, his population is greater, and his needs are just escalating all the time. So he gave him the means of not only communicating but transporting. So trucks and trucks and planes from one end of the world carrying food, etc., from one end to the other end. And within days they've reached it. They've got things done. So who's the doer? Who's the creator? حَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ فَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. We have favored them over many of our creations. So the ulama kiram explained that there is an ordinary group, that there is an average, so ordinary righteousness, average righteousness, and elite, and then super elite. One is elite and one is super elite. So the super elite amongst mankind will be the Anbiya alayhim salam. The super elite amongst mankind is Anbiya alayhim salam. They will be superior than the malaika. They will be superior than the super elite of the malaika, like Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil. So super elite of mankind is greater than the super elite of the malaika. Then you get the second level below that, you get the elite, awliya, buzugan, adin, etc. So that elite of mankind, that is the righteousness, the righteous people, right? They are better than the ordinary malaika. See that? Super elite, then you get the elite. Then you get the third level, and the third level is irreligious. They are not committed to deen. They have enslaved themselves to the temptation and desire. Whatever the desire is saying, temptation is saying, they're just moving. The temptation is saying, go to the bank, they're doing it. Buy this thing, whether it's within your means, they're doing it. Or not? So anything what the mind says, anything what the nafs says, they're just moving with it. So then Allah says about them, in whom illa kal an army, but whom azal. So they gave the self a free run, freedom, absolutely freedom. Like they say, Freemason, right? They became free. So what is their status? In the sight of Allah, what's their status? So Allah Pak has declared, in whom illa kal an army, balhum azal. They are like animals. In fact, worst off. So you see the super elite, then the elite, then those that have got no deeni commitment, is total irreligiousness. They just gave themselves a free run. So where they dropped. They could have escalated to the level of being higher than the malaika, where you become the personality that the malaika are bowing down to you. Adam alayhi salam. Don't you see that? You're going to come to that position, but then you drop yourself to a level now, Allah is himself saying, worse than an animal. Inhum illa kal an ami, balhum adhal. So you're speaking about this person that's asking, Alright. Sometimes we're living and it's difficult to meet. How do we compensate for it? So I explained that, see, everything comes with determination. So the right question for you to ask was, then how do we build up that determination, you know, courage, how do we build it up? So we need some plan and some idea how to build it. Because it comes with determination, but then how do we build up that determination, that drive, that motive, how do we build it in ourselves? At any given time, I am in the state of awareness. You know, I am aware of Allah Ta'ala, conscious of Allah Ta'ala. I haven't forgotten Him at any time, any given time, any given situation, but I haven't forgotten Him. My consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is full, 100%. But how do I get there? See, these people that have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, when people are running helter-skelter, they are on pulpits of Noor, they are rejoicing. They enjoying themselves, people, they crowded there, running like moths. Kal farash al mafsoos, like moths just all scattered around. And here they're sitting. So these people that have got the consciousness of Allah, that's the thing to be running after. I spoke about taqwa, righteousness and virtue, right? So that's the most superior thing, that to restrain yourself. One day Allah gave you to rejoice, right? After the 30 days of restraint, Allah has given you one day to rejoice, right? But then that Eid day, the novelty wears out after one day. After the Eid night, the next day, you have the same novelty, like each day. So the lesson to be learned at Eid or Ramadan is, the greatest lesson man is trying to be learned, is after a 30 day of restraint, Allah Ta'ala gave you one day to rejoice. So your whole life must be designed like Ramadan, right? That you restrain yourself. In Roza, you got certain prohibitions. Out of Ramadan, then too, you've got certain prohibitions, right? So you restrained yourself, you held yourself. Love a command. Why you hold yourself? Not because of superior health, not because of your respect, not because of your wealth. No, not because of that. Because it is the command of Allah Ta'ala, therefore you've restrained yourself. Allah doesn't like this, I kept away. Allah doesn't like this, I keep away. For no other reason. Not because I will lose my respect, not because I will lose my wealth, not because it is not sounding right, but because Allah doesn't like it, therefore I am restraining. See, too much of this intellectualism really is not right. People use intellectualism everywhere, even in these times, push it down. So someone was asked, you know, why don't you take interest? So he says, you know, because it's such an inhuman practice. Your brother is in need, and now you are charging him interest. So he's going to pay double the amount, right? You sold him, or you gave him 100,000, you're going to be collecting 200,000 from him. So it's such an inhuman practice. So therefore, I don't want to go near it. Right? But that's not the answer, because that can be, you can find a counter answer. You bought the article for 100,000, and you're selling it for 200,000, isn't it inhuman? But you say it's haram. You don't say it's haram. So if you use too much of your intellectualism, then that's not the right way. The right way is just to say, Allah Pak doesn't like this, He has prohibited this, therefore I'm leaving it. So this intellectualism will come to a certain point and it will cut off there. It will break off. At the point that it breaks off, that's the point where the wahi and revelation starts. Divine knowledge starts from that point where your intellect, it just ends, it terminates that point, the divine. So there must be a point where the intellect also terminates. Like every other faculty and talent in you, it reaches a point where it can say, I can't go anymore. Because I reached the height, ultimate, and beyond this I can't go. So your intellect and your reasoning also goes to a certain point, and it fails after you. Someone is talking about a dog, right? And the dog, why Islam prohibits the keeping of pet dogs, right? One is you're keeping it as a security reason, it's a different thing, it's permissible. Or hunting, as the Quran Sharif says, مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ. It's a different thing. But as a pet, and it's prohibited, it's not permissible to keep a dog. Why? So someone gave a reason, or because that is, it's very unsociable. Why? If you see, you got a dog in this street, and another dog came from another street, they will fight cats and dogs. Literally they'll fight, isn't it? But that's not the answer. Why is not the answer? Because if you got a group of dogs, what is it? Litter, a pride of dogs. With a pride of dogs, right, all keep you keeping, you the owner, will they fight amongst themselves? They won't fight. So if you see they're unsociable, therefore it's impermissible, and because they're unsociable, their colors will rub onto you, you become unsociable, so that answer can't go right through. See, it's unsociable, and because you're the owner, and their colors will rub onto you, you'll become unsociable, so it's haram, then that answer can't work everywhere. Can work at a certain point. Now you've got a whole pride of dogs, you've got 20 dogs there, but they're not fighting, they're happy and they're carrying on. So you'll have to say, it's the command of Allah Ta'ala, therefore it's prohibited, I'm not going into it. Leave your intelligence, just cut it off, at a certain point just cut it off. Say, this is the command of Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to break the command of Allah Ta'ala. I don't need to know the reason, and I don't need to break it. What gives me the license to know the reason why Allah Pak prohibited it? You respect the law of the land so much, right? The law of the land, you respect it so much, that the law of the land tells you, you know what, you must drive on the right side. Right? So do you go and question the law? Why must I drive on the right? Nobody can stop. Who can stop me? Why must I drive on the right? The respect that you have got for the law of the land is at level that you don't want to question the law. And if you ever drive, you know it's going to be the consequence. Right? So you don't want to take a chance, and you don't question the law, because you know it's the law of the land. But why they did it, why they made this type of a law, you can't understand why they made it. But you know it's a law, and I don't want to contravene, I don't want to be on the other side of the law. So a simple lawmaker, made up, man-made, and you got that level of respect for a man-made law, then Allah's law, is there any reason that you need to know why Allah sent this? Is there any reason? Just cut off, say no, it is my Allah's command. He is the maker, He is the doer, He has created the heavens and the earth, He has prohibited this, so I don't want to entertain any discussion, mentally or otherwise. I don't want to. But it's such an easy way. Now that's a sign of love. When you are deeply in love with Allah Ta'ala, you won't ask. But if the love is not at the level that is desired, then you will ask, why this, why not? Why can't I look at a girl? Why can't I look at this? Why can't I admire? Why can't I date someone? Why is a premarital haram? So you'll ask all these questions because you don't have the faithfulness and the love of Allah Ta'ala at the level that is desired. Therefore you're asking the question. But had you had the love of Allah Ta'ala and the loyalty at the level that was required, then you won't ask that question. Ordinary girl, you fell in love, right? Ordinary girl, you fell in love now, deeply in love. And she says, you know, you must come to this party here, but you must come with this attire, this type of a shirt you must wear, that type of a pant. Will you listen to or not? You see, you're going to go to Spurs, and you know, you must wear this attire and come. Will you listen to or not? See? When there's deep love, although it's no marriage, it's a haram relationship, but just to confirm, and endorse your love for her, won't you do that? You will definitely do that. And you ask, oh, what's the bill like? What must I pay? See, you know, you must just be about 20,000. You will go heads over heels, you will get the money, you will book in, and you will dress like how she wants. But no questions asked. Why? Because there is a level of love. Yeah, it's a stupid girl, just thought she'll become a hag. Few days into the life and all that, everything will be gone. Everything will be finished. But you know that it's short-lived, but you will sacrifice so much. And Allah Ta'ala, He is eternal, right? He is there, He is always there, and He will be for always. Now for Him, now you must ask 20 questions. 100 questions was asked. And the Qudrat Allah Ta'ala has over you. You're so proud about your youth and your strength and your might. Your strength, physically, intellectually, materially, whichever way you're so proud about it. But do you understand how weak you are? Today you are at a level of strength, right? Position of strength. So you're kicking around, you're pushing around, it's your elders, your parents, uncles, you're pushing them around, right? Because you feel that you're intellectually, physically, materially strong, right? But don't you realize, in a second, you can fall into a paralysis of stroke, right? Stroke of paralysis, a nerve can just be suppressed, it can be like a cabbage in a second. Can't it happen? Don't you see these type of things? In a second, man was strong, intellectual, powerful, and then he just fell into a depression, he can't think, he don't even talk. You don't know what's going up between him. Doesn't it happen? Don't you see these things? Don't you hear these things? So in a second, this type of change can take place. So is there anything you can be proud about? So this, you're talking of determination, right? Now we're asking, what brings up that determination? What builds that determination? So the thing that brings up and builds up the determination is two things. One is the right association. See, on the day of Qiyamah, and in this world, the law that runs, Al-Mar'u Ma'a Man Ahabba. The ones that you take a liking for, you will be grouped up with them. You like a certain group, but the love must be at a level that you want to be there with him all the time. It mustn't be just lip service, I love you so much, I love you. No, that doesn't work. Allah knows, Alimun Bidati, he knows it. It must be at such a love, in the words of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, the love must be such, you know, say you're living at a distance. But the love must be such, that you just want to be with him. As though you're saying yourself, had I had the wings, and I had no responsibilities and obligations, I would have flew up and go straight by him. So that's the level of love you're supposed to be having. You're sitting with a person, but you're not tired to carry on and carry on. The Shaykh al-Hadith Sabrahman used to quote from one of Wasiullah Sabrahman, he says, those people that don't benefit from our silence, how can they benefit from our speech? So just sitting in the presence of the Buzugar Adin, that also is coming with a tremendous benefit. Don't you think that as long as you are sitting there, you must say something? Just you be calm, engage in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, just in that presence, and you will find a change. Something is just coming through. Something is just passing through. Right? With that presence of mind, that something is coming from Allah Ta'ala. But the world has been designed in such a way that Allah has caused this world to operate with cause and effect. It doesn't happen direct. Don't you see water? It has come direct. You could have brought that water direct, but it's a cause and effect. So the spiritual gifts also comes through a system. And you have to follow the system. Allah wanted he could bring about sunshine and light in the world without the sun. But there's a cause and effect. That thing comes up, then it shines. Right? Doesn't. So the spiritual brightness comes also with a cause and effect. So for you to enjoy the spiritual benefit, you have to follow the system. No, I must get direct. So that's what happened with Shaitan. No, I'll only make sajda to Allah Ta'ala. He wants to go direct. So what happened to him? He wants it, but direct. I don't want to go by Adam alayhi salam. I want it direct. So what happened? So he didn't want to bow down, and then he is rejected for the end of time. Khuruj minha. But aren't we supposed to be just bowing down for Allah Ta'ala? You can ask the question. Allah wants to do it in this way, the way that I have commanded. So spirituality also, you will get it, but in the way that Allah has designed. Allah wanted, he would have given you the spirituality directly. And why did he send the Anbiya alayhi salam? That you will go through the Anbiya alayhi salam, not directly. And you don't follow the Anbiya alayhi salam, you lost. So now I have to go direct to Allah Ta'ala. I don't want any means, you know. I want to go directly. You can't. The roads are all blocked up, all closed. You will have to go via the Anbiya alayhi salam. So the importance of association, right? The importance of association is such, يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On the day of Qiyamah also, every person is called by his leader. If the leader was right or wrong, you call who's your leader, whether he was right or wrong. That's how you'll be grouped. You got a right leader, then you're going right. So your affinity and your bond must be just growing all the time. As though you had the wings, you would have been by him straight away. No obstructions and no obligations. But because you've got certain obligations, etc., so you can't be the time that you would have liked. So that's the first thing. So you're talking the path of this righteousness, and you want to be there. You would have the same levels after Ramadan as well. And the second thing is the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, Al-Halalu Bayyinun wal-Haramu Bayyinun Bayyinuhuma Mushtabihat. First is association, and number two is leave out all the areas of doubt. Areas of, it may not be haram, but it can lead you to haram. It's not haram, but it can lead you to haram. It's like, you know, you see, it's not suicide, but it can end up as suicide. You're driving at 300 and you're going to take a 180 degree bend. That's not suicide, but it can lead to suicide, can't it? So you will avoid that. If anybody is doing that, you say, this is suicide. Won't you say that? So some wrongs are such that in themselves they are wrongs, and some you know exactly that it will lead you to wrong. Like the hadith saying, "By, don't ever seclude yourself with a woman. Don't ever seclude yourself." So in itself it is not zina, but doesn't it have that strength to lead you to zina? You alone now. Doesn't it have that? So the means that will lead you to that, that also you need to restrain yourself. Allah wa ta'ala.